We greet our friends everywhere with Chapter 6 of Frank Was Always a Lady, the story of Frances Willard. This is another in the series Stories of Great Christians and is brought to you by the Moody Bible Institute of Chicago. That's right. Frank Willard was always a lady, and that was her problem. If you were a lady in the 1850s, your chance of getting any kind of education was slim indeed, especially if you were a young lady living on a remote Wisconsin farm. But Frank was determined, in a ladylike way, of course. She teased her mother to teach her reading, writing, and simple geography. She coaxed her father to build the first schoolhouse in town. Later, she persuaded him to send her off to Northwestern College in Evanston. And when Frank was 20, she had a diploma and more education than most women of her day. But even an educated lady was not expected to break out of the old pattern of letting Papa support her at home while she waited for a husband. With a daring twice as big as her size, she was just 5'3". She applied for a teaching job. She got it, the worst school in the district. And the truth was that Frank didn't really want to teach at all. But how else could she earn enough for independence? Her first day at the Harlem, Illinois school was terrible. The school superintendent met her at the train. He turned out to be a stubby, uncouth man wearing a soiled jacket.
I'm telling you, Miss Willard, if you got boots with you, you better get them on.
But they're in my trunk. I won't bother, Mr. Dunlap.
Suit yourself. You want to traipse through mud, that's your affair. Now, come on along and some hike up the schoolyard.
Before we get to the school, Mr. Dunlap, there are some things I should know. I've never been in Harlem before, and...
Now, watch your step. Oh, should have worn boots. You all right?
Yes, just muddy. My skirt...
First thing you gotta learn, we ain't got no plank sidewalks like Chicago. So don't bring out your city airs here expecting city things.
I was brought up on a farm.
Or city people. Harlem folks as poor as hogs, just as natural acting.
Mr. Eberhardt explained I'd probably have a good many boys of foreign parentage in
my... I bet he did. Eberhardt hates what he calls foreigners. Worse than he hates Harlem mud. Nothing wrong with our town, folks.
Oh, my shoes.
I told you to wear boots. Like I said, a lot of Harlem folks never had advantages, but they're good.
Are we almost there?
Just right over the knoll. You can see the chimney smoke.
I hear voices.
Yeah, most likely. Leave them for 5 minutes, they'll tear the place apart.
The window! Somebody broke the window!
Manners like animals don't deserve an education. Hurry up, miss.
This mud, I can't go much faster.
You young foreigners! Somebody ought to ship you all back where you escaped from. Don't deserve to live in a free country. Now look at them windows. Gracious, McFarlane.
We like fresh air.
If you like fresh air, stay out in the cornfield where you belong. Now settle down, all of you. This here is your new school, marm, name of Miss Willard. She's come to make you toe the line.
I've seen bigger corn stalks.
At the home, we always drown the runts.
Oh, you're an ignorant bunch of foreigners, and you don't deserve a decent American school. Well, good luck, Miss Willard.
You're leaving?
You got to get acquainted sometime. They're a good bunch if you handle them right. Next hoodler, what breaks the window gets the whip.
Who says, huh?
Mr. Dunlap, please don't go. Now, young people, I know that we're going to have some good times together.
I had a good time in school once. I set it on fire.
It will take a while to get acquainted.
But you won't stay that long.
We'll begin today as we will begin every day, by reading the Bible. Today, I'm going to read the 23rd Psalm.
23rd Psalm.
The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down. We'll have by Bible reading later. Let's all sing now, all together, as loud as we can.
What?
Yeah, what?
Yeah. Why, how about Silent Night? Yes.
I got news for you, lady. This ain't no Silent Night.
McFarland, come here.
Hey, let go of my ear. Hey, come on, let go of me.
Right, don't fight fair.
Hey, you pinch.
Ow. Worse than that.
Hey, watch her, she's got the whip.
Come on, not... Oh.
No, you don't. Get away. Maybe I'm small, but I've got muscles.
Look at her, she's got McFarland.
Hey, lay off, I'll be good.
Sure you will. I'll cut a bigger whip first thing tomorrow. Get back to your desk.
Hey, where'd you get muscles?
I have a brother about your size. I've wrestled with him for 15 years. We'll skip Bible reading today. Turn directly to your lesson.
Hey, McFarland, how's your ear?
Mr. Ricey, I said turn directly to your English lesson.
Yes, ma'am.
That's better. Mr. Ricey, you may come forward, face the class, and recite.
But that was just the first day, and just the first problem. There were many other days and many other problems.
Dear Diary, I go through the tiresome routine of teaching the ABCs, spelling, and the like. Help sweep out the schoolhouse, which is dirty beyond description, with broken windows, baked floor, and cobwebs mingled. Walk home again and sit down, very tired and full of heartache. Dear Diary, it is very cold today, and I have no material for making a fire. The house leaks, my desk is wet, and I am completely chilled. I can hardly hold the pen to write. I must stay 3 hours longer, and then walk home through mud that will come over my shoe tops. Gone are the days when my heart was young.
We haven't had music like that since you went away, Frank.
Mr. Foster should be grateful for that.
It's good to have you home again. We don't have as much fun when you're gone.
Well, let me tell you this. I didn't spend all my time in Harlem chuckling. I began to think I'd lost my sense of humor.
It's a wonder you didn't lose your health and your Christian testimony as well, down in that mud hole of pagan foreigners.
Now, Father...
You said yourself most of them didn't even celebrate Christmas. It was a disagreeable way to get some sense knocked into you, girl. The sheep hate the fence till the fox chases them.
Meaning?
Meaning maybe living with your family won't seem so bad now.
Father, you're wrong. I told you I didn't plan to go back to Harlem, but I didn't say I was coming home. This fall, I'm going to teach in Kankakee.
Are you out of your mind? Kankakee is 60 miles from here.
Yes, and it's a nicer town. I like it better, I'm pretty sure. I like what I'll be teaching, philosophy, drawing, grammar, and reading.
You aren't serious. Why, I thought when you came home, and your letters...
Classes are graded in Kankakee. I'll teach the older ones. I like that better, too.
But you don't even like to teach. You admitted that in Harlem.
I won't argue that. I don't like to teach.
Then don't be afraid to admit you made a mistake. I can get somebody else.
Don't you understand yet, Father? I teach because it pays me enough money to keep me independent.
Nonsense.
So I'll keep right on teaching. Nothing you could possibly say will stop me from going to Kankakee this fall. Class, in our philosophy class this year, we'll be reading a good many things and learning how to understand them, I hope. But when we are through this fall, I want us to know the answer to just one question. What is the difference between morality and true religion?
It was true. Frank was much happier in Kankakee than she had been in Harlem. But she still had no real love for teaching. And there was something else lacking, too.
Dear Diary, I have never been in love. I have never shed a tear, or dreamed a dream, or sighed a sigh, or had a sleepless hour for love. I am too cautious, love my peace too well, remember too frequently that I was made for something far more worthy than to spend a disconsolate life wasting my heart.
Miss Willard! Miss Willard! Your brother Oliver is here to see ya.
Tell him to wait in the parlor. I won't even bother to comb my hair. I'll be right down.
Miss Willard!
What is it, Mrs. Woodruff?
Your brother has a friend from divinity school with him.
Tell them both to wait in the parlor. I'll hurry. While Oliver is off telling Mrs. Woodruff how he painted our farm kitchen, would you like to see our school, Mr. Fowler? I don't want to bore any of Oliver's friends with his sister's exploits, but if you're interested in education...
I'd be delighted, Miss Willard. I feel that it wouldn't be out of the way for you to call me Charlie. It's my theory that theological students should maintain a certain dignity, but to my good friends, I'm still just Charlie.
Good. Call me Frank.
Are you joking with me?
No, why? Oh, Frank is short for Francis. Not dignified at all, is it?
Well, I rather like it, Frank.
Why, thank you, Charlie. Well, here you are. Here's where I hold forth every day. Pretty close quarters to squeeze in much dignity. A good, strong voice is better. See, I stand right there and talk as fast as I can all day. Philosophy, grammar, drawing, reading. Anything you'd like to know, Charlie Fowler?
Yes, there is.
Well?
May I see you whenever I'm able to get away from seminary?
Why, Charlie, that wasn't included in my curriculum for the year.
I could promise you it wouldn't be a waste of time. There are many things we could discuss with profit. I sense that for a woman, you're well informed.
Then it's up to you, Charlie. You choose the day and the topic, and you'll find me right here in Kankakee waiting for you.
No, that's final. My daughter stays out of any masculinized war effort.
But why? I believe in Mr. Lincoln's cause as much as Oliver. He can enlist. I could be a nurse or join up with a sanitary commission.
Sure you could. If I didn't stop you, you could be another D.L. Moody racing off to the army camps before they get their tents up. I wouldn't be surprised if Mr. Moody would hire you to sing for the men.
Father, I'm serious.
So am I. I've given in to your whims for the last time. You wanted to teach, so you did. And what happened? You quit two jobs in less years because you weren't happy. Frank, you want to use this war as an escape.
Maybe. But if you block my escape this way, I'll find some other. You can count on that, Father.
And so we conclude Chapter 6 of Frank Was Always a Lady, the story of Frances Willard. This is another in the series, Stories of Great Christians, which come to you transcribed from the Moody Bible Institute of Chicago.